taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 21. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning, and heard the trumpet, and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and bless you and thank you that you are our God. And this morning we've come before you. We would ask, dear Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would provide to us sustenance for this week to come, that you would provide to us, dear Lord, knowledge and revelation, that you would rebuke us, encourage us, that you would challenge us, you would open up, dear Lord, your word to us so that we could be taken forward into, dear Lord, your kingdom, so that we might understand who and what you are. And dear Lord, as your people, we come before you. And we know that, dear Lord, that you sent your Son into this world who taught us a prayer we now share together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You've asked this morning, give us this day our daily bread. I wonder if you're ready for that. You haven't asked for it particularly nicely, but you said, give us, give us, give us. This particular section of the Bible is something perhaps that we know well. I know the schools call it the Ten Sayings today, but we know it as the Ten Commandments. And when we get words like commandments, we think of rules and regulations rather than recognize of what it is. It's about a relationship. And tied up in that relationship, if you love the Lord your God, is obedience. And obedience to God can be tough. But I wonder, as a Christian, do you realize perhaps that you have to do it? Failure to do this means that God can't work through us, God can't get to us, God cannot use us. And what then perhaps we and who and what we are becomes ineffective, we're small and we're little of value. When we fail to gain our potential, and while we have a great time, the world and those whom we know perhaps will become lost. And there's much tied up in these words. And of course, when Christ came, he remodeled some of these things for us to understand about this relationship. And as we only have a limited time, and we can't go through this whole list, we perhaps can look at some of the words and wisdoms and commands that Christ gave us.
You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fires of hell.
I wonder how often we say to each other, "You fool." I say that to many people while driving my car. But what we're talking about here is a relationship with Christ. And do we obey his commands or do we reject them? Perhaps like, I don't know if you're anything like me, perhaps you only partially obey. And because of that, I wonder how much of a peril perhaps that you're in or recognize that you're in. You see, Jesus was trying to tell the people of his time, there's a better way. While the old law still stands, he knew the people could not keep to it. So he emphasized who and what we are, which has greater significance and effect upon those whom we profess to love, those around us, our relationships with them and with him.
Jesus goes on and says, "You've heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart."
How many commandments from the Old and New Testament, I wonder if you've broken? I know I could put up my hand and say I've broken them all. Do you have lust in your heart rather than the love of Christ for others? Do you have desire for someone or something which you cannot reach? Do you then plan and scheme and live in a fantasy world for the desires that you have, rather than live in the more excellent way that Christ has provided with you? Do you seek the truth of Christ and live in his reality, which will go far beyond all those things perhaps that you think that you desire? Do you build a relationship with him rather with someone or something which you think or perceive that you need, that really in your heart of hearts would know that if you achieved it, it really wouldn't satisfy, wouldn't fulfill your needs, because you would soon tire of it? My greatest regret in my life is this particular commandment that I've broken. And this is to my shame.
"Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you."
I come before Christ and ask his deep forgiveness in my life. If only I could undo the things, because we all have regrets, don't we, that I did while I had my mother and father, the lost opportunities so I could bless them and realize the gifts that they were in my life. I was very fortunate while I was growing up. But when I grew into my teenage years and adult years, I squandered the love that they gave me. I never showed my appreciation to them and who and what they are. And of course, now I'm where I am today. And I look back on that. And I ask Christ for forgiveness. What about you? Are you able to search your hearts and look at yourselves? And are you without guilt and shame? Are you living a life that Christ has laid out before you? And are you obeying him? Or do you just obey him on a Sunday? Or perhaps when you remember? We sang about the fact that we're going to give him our hearts, our souls, and minds. Do you know, Christians very rarely ever tell lies, but they sing them. They sing the things that we sing in our songs. Are we those people that we sing and we profess in worship? Loved ones of God, I'm not trying here this morning to make you feel guilty or bring condemnation upon your heads or provide you with a new set of rules, but be warned, if a man keep the whole law and offends in one point, then he's guilty of all of it. This is not who we are supposed to be in Christ, but we are to know the freedom from the law that he brings because we obey and we have the power to overcome that which would make us great. I wonder what you listen to as a people. Is it the will of God or is it the words of your spouse? Is it the will of God or is the church? Is it the will of God of your friend? Is it the will of God or is it your neighbor? Christ has given us another command.
A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Do you love Christ? And because of that, do you love one another? Are you able to look at each other this morning and say, because you know they are a disciple of Christ, I love you. And do you have love in your eyes? Are you able to say, I love you? And it's not this wishy-washy sort of love that we have for one another. But you're able to say with purpose and say, no, it's more difficult perhaps for us men, but I love you because Christ loved you. Are you able to turn to each other this morning and say, I love you? I love you. Do you love each other? Do you just put up with each other? Do you tolerate each other? Do you have concerns for each other? Perhaps you hide your hatred and contempt for one another. Many people get so hung up on this word love because the way the devil and the world has misinterpreted it and corrupted it. Yet it says this in our word, doesn't it? For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, again, that's you and me, in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you have that eternal life in your life this morning? Can you see eternity? And have you got a bright future? Or do you see eternity and it looks dark? Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Shall not perish. Do you want this life? Or do you prefer the life the world gives, which is no life at all, but death? God's love, you see, is not without purpose. God's love is not wishy-washy. It's not a sloppy word. What's been written in here has nothing to do, you see, with sex This is the love that has intimacy and friendship. It's strong. It has great potential. It is self-sacrificial. It's not small. It's that still, quiet voice. This word has purpose. It has a goal. It is a desire for you. All that you are, all that you have been, all that you will be. For Christ says this.
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
I wonder how many times, like me, you've broken this command because you do not believe that you're worthy of the love of God because of who and what you are, what you have done and what's been done to you and what's being done to you. You see, God formed you and he has a desire to bless you. And it is that love that he has for you, in spite of who and what you are and what you think you are, that desires to crash into your life. Do you realize that you are loved? That you are loved. Sometimes our world so corrupts this word, that you are loved. You're cared for. You're desired. You're wanted by him. I've said to you before, you know, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole of heaven has a party. That's how precious you are. And of course, he sent his son. And this isn't to make us feel guilty. Rather, it should fill us with joy. He sent his son so that you as individuals could know him and have an eternity with him. That he could cry out to you and say, come, my child, come to me. And because of that, that love which is for you, but then you can look at each other, who are the other disciples of Christ, and you can say, I love you because I was first loved and I am loved. And because of that, that love that's in my heart that I have for Christ through his Spirit, I can love you. I can love you. Are you fulfilling the will of God or have you lost it? Are you unable to achieve it or reach or want it? You know, so many people desire to reject the love of Christ. You may be thinking, I can't love myself, then how on earth can I love those around me? If you have this attitude in mind, it means you're in disobedience to God. You see, God can do nothing in and through you, and all your efforts will become to naught. For you see, you're building your own kingdom and not his. For he allows you, and allow him to love you, and guard you, and guide you, and keep you. We can also see this in our church, can't we, on times? Of who and what we represent. Is it a God of love and purpose and grace and power? Or is it just smallness? Because you see, the church can be so in love in the words of men and those around us, and we love to seek the gain of the world. If we seek the world, we'll grow small. We become effective and we lack true power. Do you have true power of Christ in your life this morning? You know, Christ knew that we would be in a world that would be against us, that we would struggle against and inside of ourselves. And he says, I will send the comforter. I will send the empowerer. The one will enable you to overcome and be overcomers. To celebrate that, that'll be next week. It's when Pentecost is. The Spirit came and he's been on this world for 2,000 years and we have a choice. We can step into him or we can ignore him. We can embrace him and the love of Christ that he sends into our lives. Or we can be ineffectual and wonder why the world could toss us from here to there. You as God's people are not supposed to be ineffective. You're supposed to grow and be full of the power of Christ. The world needs this place. The world needs you as individuals and a fellowship. If you recognize that, do you then love one another? You know, it breaks my heart, and I've experienced this, perhaps you have as well, that we as God's people are supposed to be blood-bought, cured, healed, saved, redeemed, blessed, found, adopted, a people who live in the kingdom of God. We need to recognize that we have a Savior who intercedes on our behalf to save us from death, of sin, and of hell. Yet are we as a people doing what God loves, or do we do as what God hates and detests? Do we destroy rather than create? Do we gossip rather than support? Do we fail to come together? And do we resist God's agenda because we are in love with our own? Do we prefer to destroy each other and the work that goes on rather than seeks God's blessing upon us? And then when we look at each other, are we able to say to each other, I love you? Do we have that love in our lives? I love you. Because if we love each other, we can do none of these things, can we? We can do none of these things. We can only encourage and bless and want to help each other to grow and be better than who and what we are, to lift each other just as we were lifted out of the mire, so that ever we can smile at each other and see with the eyes of Christ and say, I love you. I love you. I desire the best for you. Do you obey, or do you only partially obey? Do we recognize that God sent his Son as a sacrifice into this world so that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or do we prefer our own arrogance and self-humility? And do we say that we have arrived and that I'm prepared now to do what I want? I was talking to Cheryl earlier on when I was the pastor at Pontia. Oh, I wanted to do so many different things. I was so excited about doing this and doing that. And God would say, no, you do what I want you to do. No, I want you to do this. Yeah, but I want to, no, I want you to do that. It'd be quite frustrating. I'm sure that people who lead you here perhaps feel the same. Oh, I really desire this. No, this is what you're going to do. It's God's agenda, not ours. It's God's purpose and not ours. What I want to do. Do you do God's will? And do you do what he says? You may say, well, hang on a minute. No, I do God's will. Then ask yourselves this question. Do you love one another? Do you love with the passion of Christ? Test your own hearts. Do you come to Bible study? If it's boring, then change it. You know, God's word cannot be boring. It's impossible. People, reach out to God in his love letter to you. Do you gather together? Do you become as one mind and you cry out for the love of the lost souls? Do you cry out for your family members who do not know Christ? Do you cry out for your friends? And do you even cry out for your enemies so that they might come to know Christ? Do you cry out for them? Do you cry out for them? Test your own hearts. Is it all about us and I and me? Because Christ gave us a command, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, do men know you as Christ's disciples? Or do they laugh at you and say, there go the disciples of the devil. See how divided they are. They don't even know their God. You know, this world needs a people who know who God is and have the power of God in their lives, so they're able to give it to others and encourage others and bless others. Are you a people like this? Do you know Christ like this? Do you know the power of God like that in your lives? Do you partially obey God rather than fulfill the life that He has for you? You perhaps have given your life to Christ. Perhaps you've been filled with the Spirit. Do you then recognize the battle that goes on inside of you? Your old self is still with you. That's corrupt, and it battles against the Spirit. This is all in God's Word. You see, for our hearts are wicked, and we're a deceitful people. We even deceive ourselves. Recently, I've been asking God for a new revelation of Him. And I've been confronted by this. And God, in His mercy, has responded, for He stopped me in my tracks. Some of you already are aware of this. He made me blind for 4 days and nights, and I could not see. I was in great pain and discomfort, and the only thing that I could do was hear. You see, what enters my eyes was spoiling me and making me disobedient. The thoughts in my mind was failing the test. I've allowed the seduction and corruption of partial obedience to enter my life. But I've taken the warning and accepted the revelation, and I'm changing. I now war against my old man inside of me with the power given to me by the Holy Spirit, which is available to you. Which means I can overcome an overcomer here this morning. What about you? What about you? Have you allowed yourselves to become seduced by the warm ears and approving words and the example of others who aren't really an example at all? Have you allowed yourselves to become worshippers of idols? And have you left Christ outside of your experience? Yet Christ says to us, love one another. If you love one another, then you see everything changes. And God walks amongst us. Is God walking amongst you here this morning? It's available to you. And it's as hard and it's as difficult as just saying, I love you as Christ loves me. I accept you as Christ loves me. I know perhaps we've got differences, but who cares? Christ loves me. Therefore, I love you. I love you. And let's see together the will of God amongst us. If we obey, we're given a promise, aren't we? If we obey, we're given the power of the Holy Spirit so we can overcome. And if we overcome, then everything changes. And God has His opportunity of walking amongst us so that we, as God's people, can change everything. You know, perhaps this message is not a soft and fluffy one for our ears. But you see, the time is late. We are God's people and we have to change. We need to go back to God. We need to start to obey so our lives, our church, our families, this land could change and God could once again walk amongst us. It's happened in the past. It's not as though we're asking for something that's brand new. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you going to start with Christ's command?
A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people and would ask, dear Lord, that they would recognize your love in their lives. That, dear Lord, they would throw open the door and allow your love to crash into their hearts, into their minds, into their souls, into who and what they are. That you would give them the power to overcome, that they would be effective. And, dear Lord, as they look at each other, say, I love you because Christ loved me first. Dear Lord, I would ask that you would sweep from them their arrogance and self-humility, the fact that how could anyone love me? You sent your Son to die for each one of us. How on earth could we refuse your love in our lives because of that? Dear Lord, we know that every time a sinner comes to you, the whole of heaven rejoices. Dear Lord, allow these people to rejoice because they know the love of Christ and they realize and understand that God is walking amongst them because they love one another. They have purpose amongst each other because your purpose is upon them. And if there's anyone here this morning that has not given their lives to Christ, accept him right now into your life and allow him to transform it and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps your life has become tainted and a little bit corrupt because you've grown weary of what goes on within the church or within your fellowship or what you see in the world. And you think all these things are far away. I would pray, dear Lord, that you would crash into their lives again, afresh and anew, and that they would know, dear Lord, your love afresh, and that there's great purpose upon their lives, that they no longer have to feel jaded, but rather they would look at each other and say, I love you because Christ loves me and he understands. And dear Lord, I ask a blessing upon your leaders of this place, that as the congregation and the fellowship turns towards them and with love in their eyes and say, we love you, that dear Lord, they can respond with the same love because you're empowering them and enabling them and say, we love you because you love us, because Christ is walking amongst us in the power of his Spirit. Dear Lord, thank you that you are our God. And we praise you and bless you for your power and grace. And dear Lord, be with us for all time. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name, and God's people said, Amen.